You know, just by paying full attention to that sound, we can change our mind completely. It's very strange. But if you understand the principle, then you can understand why it happened, why we can change our mental state only by paying full attention to the sound or to anything. So attention is the key. Attention will cause some kind of miracle. But why attention, you know, can cause such a kind of miracle, we really have to understand, you know. And this morning we discuss about our crazy monkey mind. Or we can say our crazy negative monkey mind. It sounds terrible, you know. But actually, this is the core of our suffering. And you know that, you know, all of us, we know. We have been suffering from, not from our partner, our enemy, our bad government, corruption, you know. But we are suffering from our crazy, negative monkey mind. No? So, then, okay, the core of our suffering, or we can say in the core of suffering, this negative, crazy monkey mind exists. Then why? By paying full attention, we can let go of our crazy monkey mind. We have to understand it, you know. Then, this afternoon we'll discuss about it. Because, you know, as you know, all of you are familiar with English Buddhist book or English spiritual book, you know. So, the word mindfulness has been one of the most important words these 10 years or 20 years, you know. And now, as you know, even therapy, you know, especially in America and England, you know, they are using mindfulness for curing. And it's called mindfulness therapy, you know. And it's not anymore in Buddhist context. It's not anymore like it's practiced in Buddhist meditation or Buddhist Vipassana center. It's not like that. Now it's already in some kind of, it has nothing to do with Buddhism, but some kind of medical center, you know, in Massachusetts and in England, you know. And Jon Kabat-Zinn is one of the main person, you know. Then, of course, now a psychiatrist, you know, a counselor, they talk a lot about mindfulness because they feel maybe mindfulness can really give power to their therapy, you know, to cure depressed people or to cure, you know, that kind of people, you know. Then so many people, psychiatrists or therapists, you know, and then patients themselves, they are talking a lot. Now in Japan, a lot, you know, and in America, of course, you know. I'm not sure in India situation, I don't know. You know. But then again, I found the same confusion which I had found in Buddhism or in Buddhist meditation, you know. So because in Buddhist meditation world, mindfulness, of course, has been one of the most important words for these 20 years. But I had never, so far no one could persuade me about the clear meaning of mindfulness, you know. Know what it is, you know something as objectively without any judgment, you know, or without any like and dislike, you know, something like that, you know. Maybe they are not, of course, they are not wrong definition, maybe they are right definition. But then what? Then what, you know? Why mindfulness is sound? Yeah, I can understand, but why mindfulness can really change the game? Why mindfulness can really change the life of depressed people? You know? Why mindfulness has such a kind of power, miracle power? Until now, no one explained clearly enough why, you know? So no one did it, that's why I did it. Anyway, so as Anita introduced this morning, I published a book last September. It's a dialogue with my Dharma brothers, you know, and Mr. Fujita. Mr. Fujita, we and Mr. Fujita, I and Mr. Fujita got ordained in same tradition on the same day with under the guidance of the same teacher. So we have been practicing for 30 years. And he still belongs to Japanese Soto Zen school. Japanese Soto Zen school is famous for Shikantaza, just sitting. And he is now chief of international center of Soto Zen school in America, in San Francisco. So he is responsible for Soto Zen in North America, or like that, you know. So we know, of course, each other very, very well. And we exchange the dialogue. Then, of course, we rewrite, rewrote. Then we made one book. Yeah. And the title is Updating Buddhism. Updating Buddhism. Like we always update software or computer, you know? Like iOS or iPhone, you know? From iOS 6, point such and such, 6.0, blah, blah, blah. Then, finally, we update iOS 7, you know? So, like this, we should update Buddhism also. Because if we don't update iOS, you know, iPhone doesn't work well. You know, because iPhone is used by so many people in so many situations. Then, of course, Apple did their best to make a perfect iPhone, but still they found some kind of bug, you know? And this way of using is not good, whatever that. You know, that's why they have to update OS, you know? But exactly the same way, we have to update Buddhism. Then we publish this book, you know? Then in this book, I explained the true meaning of mindfulness and why until now explanation of mindfulness didn't make clear sense. It made sense, but didn't make clear sense, you know. Mindfulness, as I said, knowing things as it is, you know, knowing things objectively, knowing things like without any judgment, you know, knowing things, you know, wah, 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 wah. Okay, but still not clear. Not clear. So it means such kind of explanation cannot explain why mindfulness can really change the life of people. You know, then what kind of relationship does mindfulness have with our this crazy negative monkey mind? What kind of relationship? You know, so we have to be able to explain about everything. Yes, we have a crazy negative monkey mind, you know. Then this mindfulness, you know, then crazy negative monkey mind sometimes become depressed, you know. And then, but mindfulness can cure this depression, you know. How and why, you know? So we need very clear-cut explanation about everything, you know. Then we can understand the point of practice of mindfulness, you know. Like, so anyway, I and my Dharma brother, we exchange a dialogue and we discuss about the essential point of mindfulness. Then we wrote in the Niyama book, and it was published at the end of September. It's already 2 or 3 months passed, you know. And it gave a big impact to Japanese, not Japanese society, but Japanese Buddhist society, just a little bit, especially meditators. So people who are just reading Buddhist text and who don't do any Buddhist meditation maybe cannot understand, you know, but people who are really practicing, they understood what I wanted to say. Why? Because they themselves are always practicing mindfulness, you know, mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of such and such, you know, but still they feel not perfect, you know, still feeling something is lacking, something very important point is still unclear, you know. That's why my practice of mindfulness breathing doesn't work, has not yet worked well until now, you know. Then they read my book. They said, many people said, finally understand the point. Then when they understand the point, their meditation will change drastically, you know. And like in Japan, usually we have a 5 days retreat in my center or in several places in Japan, you know, and sometimes Korea, sometimes Taiwan, and yeah, like that, you know. Then just recently, last month, one woman who is working in Tokyo, she is just working in some company in Tokyo, you know, and she came to our retreat and she joined us. Then during the retreat, she finally got the real meaning of mindfulness, of breathing, you know. We did discuss about this one later, you know. But anyway, so after the retreat, she went back to her own working place, you know, to her company, you know. Then she was surprised because I don't know exactly what kind of job she's doing, but she's using computer and doing some kind of image, like illustrating or like that, you know. Anyway. So usually she works very hard until midnight or very late at night, you know. But just after she finished her retreat, she went back to working home. A working place. And that day, she could finish her job so quickly, you know. She could go home very early because she already finished it, you know. Of course, she did exactly the same amount of job like before the retreat, but she finished exactly the same amount of job with very short time, you know. And she said, oh my goodness, what's happened to me? Then she realized her mind is very clear, and she can judge very quickly, you know. I should do this, I should not do that, you know. So that's why she doesn't waste any time. So just concentrate. That's it. Then she finished her job very, very early. You know? So if you really understand the meaning of mindfulness, meaning of mindfulness of breathing or like that, you know, then your meditation will change drastically, and as a result, your mind will change drastically, and as a result, whatever you do, everything will change. Your way of working, your way of having human relationship, everything will change. Why? Because your mind is already different from before. You know? That's why we really need to know the real meaning of mindfulness. You know? Because otherwise, like at lunchtime we discussed, you know, many people devote themselves for Buddhism, you know, anyway, for many, many years. But nothing has ever changed at all. They are angry as before, they are anxious as before, they are irritated as before, they are jealous as before, you know. Nothing changed after 20 years practice, after 30 years practice, you know. Why? It's very clear, you know. After 30 years, if nothing happens after 30 years, do you think after 40 years something will happen? Of course not, you know. After 40 years, after 50 years, nothing will ever happen, you know. Why? Because they are missing the point, you know. So that's why, of course, you know, length of practice is very important, you know. How many hours, you know, how many days, how many years, very important. So, and also, I myself recommend or ask you to practice for many hours, many days, many weeks, many months, you know, like that. But if you miss the point, if you miss the point, then your 20 years practice cannot lead you to anywhere. 30 years practice cannot produce anything, unfortunately. So that's why we really have to understand the real meaning of mindfulness, or real relationship mindfulness and our crazy negative monkey mind, you know. It's obvious, you know. So, but as I said, our crazy negative monkey mind. If you are a meditator, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you are a meditator, you can clearly see your mind. Your mind is jumping around like a monkey, crazy monkey. And at that time, your mind is producing lots of negative thinking. You know? All of us know it very well as a meditator. You know? Then, but meditator, we know it. But if we don't meditate, you know, maybe we don't notice it. We don't notice our crazy negative monkey mind. No. Then maybe we just read Buddhist texts. We just think of philosophy of emptiness. We just think of compassion. we just think of Buddha nature. We just think of dependent origination. You know? So, like, we can think of many, many things. We can understand them. But still, nothing happens to me. You know? Why? It means, as long as we stay in the dimension of our thinking mind, nothing ever will happen. But once we get out of this dimension, and if we can enter into new dimension, then you will find everything which we had learned in Buddhist texts exist in this new dimension. Nowhere else. You can find compassion, you can find, of course, wisdom, Buddha nature, you know, everything you can find in. And of course, this is an empty place, you know, so that's why you can understand philosophy of emptiness completely, you know. So then you found, oh, all the Buddhist texts are just talking about only this dimension, this new dimension, you know. But my fatal mistake was I tried to understand them in all dimension. That's why nothing makes sense. That's why compassion was just a fancy, just a fantasy, or hypocritical. And Buddha nature, or enlightenment, or pure land, you know, sounds good, but I'm not sure they really exist or not. You know, or philosophy of emptiness. I can understand theory, but I don't feel any empty, you know, like that, you know. So, that's why point is, we really have to enter into new dimension. Otherwise, we can never understand anything. So if we try to understand everything in old dimension, nothing works. Even if we spend 20 years, 30 years, nothing will ever happen in old dimension. You know? Okay. So then, what is the essential point of old and new? You know, old and new. You know? So this old dimension is made by our, of course, our crazy negative thinking. No? Then, only when we let go of our crazy negative thinking mind, we can enter into new dimension. You know? So, just how to let go of our crazy negative thinking mind, monkey mind, is a key. You know? Then, once we enter into this new dimension, you can really understand everything which is written in Buddhist texts, which all Buddhist great Buddhist masters are talking about. You can understand them, everything. You know, it's really like if you go to a real place like New York, if you live there, then you can understand everything which people are talking about in New York. But if you have never been to New York, and you just read guidebooks of New York, then you can never understand. You know? Maybe you can memorize the names of the subway in New York, you know? But still, it's not real meaning, real understanding of New York. You know? So, that's why I really want people to just go to new dimension, you know. That's it. Then you can, yes, once you enter into new dimension, yes, you can do so many things. No? Once you go to New York, you know, then you can just enjoy taking the subway, you know, taking a taxi, going to a restaurant, or you can enjoy everything, and your knowledge, your experience in New York will be richer and richer and richer, something like that. But if you don't go there, if you just accumulate the knowledge of New York, doesn't make any sense. Or such a knowledge makes you just confused, you know? Then you just quote some text, you know, or according to this text, or according to that Rinpoche, according to that teacher, or blah, 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 blah. You can quote everything, but now what is your final conclusion? I don't know. I have no final conclusion. Something like that, you know? But if you really enter into new dimension, you can understand everything. You don't need knowledge. Of course, knowledge will help you, but ultimately, you don't need it. Point is, we just enter into new dimension. This is the most essential point. Okay? Then, so to enter into new dimension, you really have to understand the difference between old and new. You know, old and new. Then, essential point of old is, of course, our old conditioned mind, old conditioned mental state. It means crazy, negative monkey mind. You know? So, to understand this, it's not someone's crazy, negative monkey mind. It's my own negative, crazy mind. You know? So, it means we have to watch ourselves. And it's of course painful, you know. Oh, he's crazy, you know. We can say very easily, but I am crazy. We cannot say that, you know, because I know exactly how crazy I am. And if I check how crazy I am, it's very painful, you know. But we have to do it, you know. So then, this morning we discussed about patient and medicine and doctor or like that. So, in order to enter into new dimension, we have to understand old dimension very well. Or we have to understand that we are in the old dimension, which is made by crazy negative thinking mind. And as long as we stay in this old dimension, nothing works. And my life is completely dead end. You know? So then even if we have I have a lovely partner, very quickly problem will be apparent. You know? And if I have a family, then very quickly, family problem will be apparent. So, anyway, as long as we stay in old dimension, we cannot understand Dharma, and our private life will be filled with problems after problems, suffering after suffering. You know? So then, that's why we have to really need medicine, you know? But it means we admit that I am a patient, you know? I am a patient, I need a medicine urgently, you know? Then, if this position is very clear, you know, then you start to research for true medicine, you know? Maybe you checked many medicine. But when you check many medicine, you will take this medicine really, you know? You really take this medicine into your mouth and you take it. then you can check this medicine by yourself. You don't need any information anymore. So then you can judge this medicine is right or wrong directly. You know, this is famous stomach medicine. Okay, I take it, but my diarrhea doesn't stop, my pain doesn't stop. Then you can judge, well, this is not right medicine. You know, so this medicine is not famous, you know, but I take it, my diarrhea stops immediately, my pain disappears immediately, I can eat anything with joy, my stomach is very healthy. Then you can say, oh, this stomach medicine is very right, you know. Then you don't need any other stomach medicine. But if you don't take medicine, then you have to have a very strange faith in this medicine. This medicine is made by a very famous company, you know. Well, this medicine is given by a very famous doctor who graduated from a very famous university. I got it, this medicine, in a very big hospital whose beds are, who has a 1,000 beds, you know, or something like that. So then you call yourself, I'm a follower of this medicine, you know, and you criticize other medicine, you know. But because we don't take medicine directly, you know, okay? So point is, then maybe you become follower of some famous doctor, you know, handsome doctor or like that, you know. Then just confusion will start. Why? Because from the beginning our practice was wrong. Because from the beginning we did not admit that I am a patient. You know? So if we don't admit that I am a patient, then after that, for you or us to take medicine is not so important. You understand? Because I am not a patient. You know? So that's why maybe for you medicine is a, you know, this illustration of this medicine box is beautiful or not, you know, or like that. Unnecessary information becomes suddenly important. But this medicine is really works or not, this most important thing becomes unimportant, like that. So if we understand like this, then we can avoid all the confusion which is spreading all the Buddhist world right now. You know, all sectarian conflicts, all everything will just disappear immediately. You know, so that's why let's return to our original starting point. It means admitting that I am a patient and I need a medicine which can really cure my disease. You know, this is our starting point. Okay? Then, because if we don't see our reality, we cannot go to new dimension. Okay? So, Buddhism itself is not a problem. Or such and such a teacher, you know, Rinpoche, His Holiness, or Seado, or Ajahn, or Roshi, or, you know, or such and such a sect, or such and such a world, or tradition, or whatever. They are not at all important at all, you know. So, they can offer me the real medicine which can really cure my disease. This is the only one thing which I care, you know. And which really cares to you, which is important for you, you know. This is the only one important point, You know? Only for this reason we are reading Buddhist texts. Only for this reason we are going to listen to teacher's Dharma talk. Only for this reason we are attending Vipassana course like that. So if you miss this point, all these activities cannot lead you to anywhere. Okay? But if this point is very clear, now you know what to do. Okay? So anyway, okay, so old and new, and essential point of old dimension is our crazy negative monkey mind. Okay? Then, why until now the meaning of mindfulness was not clear enough? And why most of people's meditation did not work well? And why 20 years practice, 20 years following some teacher did not lead anybody to anywhere? You know? It's very, very, very obvious, because we have been doing everything in all dimensions. That's why. Really, that's it. Then we did even our meditation in all dimensions. You know? But the purpose of meditation is get out of old dimension and to enter into new dimension. This is only one purpose of meditation. But the difference between old and new was not so clear. That's why we did even meditation in old dimension. It means we did meditation with our monkey mind. You know? This is the whole point. So, but monkey mind, can it meditate? Of course not, you know. For monkey mind, meditation is the most difficult thing, you know. You understand? Right? Meditation, simplest meditation. Observing your breathing. You know, observing your breathing. In breath, out breath. Not just one second. You have to observe for a long time. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Can monkey do these kind of things? Of course not. It's totally against monkey's nature. You know? Monkey was not born for this purpose, for this kind of job. You know? This is a most difficult things for monkey. Why? Because real nature of monkey is just jumping around. Jumping around is a nature, true nature of monkey mind. Then staying at a meditation object for a long time, of course it's impossible. Okay? So, monkey mind and meditation, two totally opposite thing. Okay? Then we did meditation with monkey mind. That's why it didn't work. Because it's totally against monkey's nature. You know? Monkey's nature. Because monkey's nature is jumping around. The meditation is we should not jump around. We should stay at meditation object. No? Then, of course, monkey cannot meditate. Then what did we do? We use our power. You know? We grab our monkey. You know? We grab our monkey. Monkey's neck. You know? And we grab our monkey and we force monkey to stay here. You know? We force monkey to stay here. You should stay here. And you should watch your breathing. You know? with our power of you know. The monkey, of course, monkey wanna, one monkey wanna escape, more monkey wanna jump around, you know, but we grab like that, you know. So then we thought, this is a practice of meditation, you know. Of course, we know, everyone knows, our monkey mind is want to jump around. Then that's why using our willpower, using our, you know, determination, using our, you know, any kind of thing, then we grab the neck of monkey and force monkey to stay here. You know, this is a training of meditation. We thought like that. Then what's happened? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Not only nothing happened, like we got so much tension in our body, in our mind, like that. You know? Then what's wrong? What was wrong? First of all, everything was wrong. Everything was wrong. And this is not meditation at all. And this is not practice at all. You know? Then as a result, as you know, many, you know, because I spent many years in meditation world, you know, so I know many meditators are suffering from pain here. You know? Why? Because when we become tense, when our body becomes very tense, usually tension is accumulated around this area, you know? So then many meditators complained about their unbearable pain here, and also around here, face, you know, like then many people actually told me when they start to meditate, immediately they feel tension here and tension like a facial muscle. Then it's very unbearable. That's why little by little they are losing their courage of doing meditation. Then finally they lost it. Then they say, my conclusion is, meditation is not good for me. Many people say so. Actually, this is my own experience, you know. Many people say, meditation is not for me, you know. But is it true? No, it's not true. Because you did a wrong meditation, that's why nothing worked. Please do right meditation. Then what is wrong meditation and what is the right meditation? It has nothing to do with meditation techniques, you know? Or like a breathing method. Oh, you should concentrate on here, or you should go to here. That kind of thing is not at all important, you know? Or you should visualize such and such, you should visualize such and such. That kind of thing, nothing different. No important at all, you know? So techniques are not at all important, you know. Then what is a wrong meditation? What is the right meditation? What makes difference? What makes difference? Okay, then clear. So if you do meditation with your monkey mind, this is a wrong meditation. Okay. Whatever techniques you use, with what whoever teaches Tibetan tradition or Theravada tradition or Zen tradition or Yoga tradition, those things, nothing at all important, you know. You know that, you know. As long as you do meditation with your monkey mind. But then, if we don't use any monkey mind, how come we can do meditation? Because it's not like I have a monkey mind, but I am a monkey mind, you know? You understand? Because my identity is a monkey mind. So without monkey mind, I cannot meditate. Because monkey mind is myself. You know. So then, again, this is like a most difficult point for meditation. Because it means with our ordinary understanding, it's impossible to meditate. Why? Because with our ordinary understanding is, it's not, you know, Anita has a monkey mind, but the identity of Anita is monkey mind. This is our ordinary understanding of myself. You understand? So that's why if I try to meditate, we have no way, no other way. We have to meditate with our own monkey mind. And as we discussed, it's absolutely impossible to meditate with our monkey mind because it's against nature of monkey. That's why we force our monkey to meditate using our power, our willpower, and we thought this is a practice of meditation, but nothing worked. Why? Because this power is also power of monkey mind. You know? then give up. So it means we cannot meditate. This is a final conclusion. You know? We cannot meditate. Of course, our old we, you know? So it means our old identity, we cannot meditate, completely stuck, you know? Okay? So then, what should we do? Okay, so this morning, we pay attention to our subtle energy of our body. So by paying full attention to our subtle energy, little by little, you can feel subtle energy in your whole body. Okay? Then you are paying more attention. Then you can feel more energy. You know? This morning we didn't have enough time, so please later repeat, you know? Little by little, until now, this is my body, and this is like a cushion. A cushion exists outside of my legs. This is a cushion, this is my legs, you know? And this is my body, this is not my body, you know, this is outside world. This is our old understanding of the world, okay? But if you jump into the world of subtle energy, this difference between my body and the outside world will disappear very soon. You can experience directly. Okay? Then, not anymore inside and outside. Not anymore this boundary. You know, then very soon, your body, your leg, your arm, your torso, your neck, your head will be just part of cosmos. You know? You can directly feel it. Okay? Then, you just feel this ocean of subtle energy. Then you jump into the ocean of subtle energy. Then what happens? Then at that time, automatically, naturally, finally, your negative monkey, crazy monkey mind will drop. Maybe this morning, completely, not yet, you know. But I feel many of you had experienced, at least your crazy monkey mind became weaker than before. You know, so if you practice, continuous practice, then one day it will drop completely. You know? But isn't it scary? For your ego, it's a very scary thing. Why? Because as I said, I don't have a monkey mind, but I am monkey mind. Monkey mind is my identity. Monkey mind is my essence. That's why when monkey mind drops, I will lose myself. I will lose my identity. This is a scary thing for ego. For my ego. You understand? You know? So that's why now we know and understand everything is just a game of our ego. Or we can say this is everything is just a delusion of our ego. You know? So our ego believes monkey mind is me. Monkey mind is my identity. Monkey mind is my essence. That's why our ego, feels suffering. Then our ego wanna be free from suffering. Then our ego read some Buddhist texts and said meditation is good. Then what happens? Of course our ego meditates with our monkey mind, you know? Then completely stuck. Then what should we do? But anyway, okay? So we jump into the ocean of subtle energy. Then finally, negative monkey mind will start to drop. You know? Then it means theoretically you are losing your identity, you are losing your essence, you are losing yourself. It means you will die. But will you die? No. You will not die. So what does it mean? It means you are not monkey mind. You know, your identity is not monkey mind. Ego believes strongly like that, but it's ego's delusion, or we can say it's ego's trick. Trick. So, how to, you know, understand this trick of our ego? Ego believes our monkey mind is myself. It's me. But this is a delusion. This is not true. This is a trick of our ego. That's why we can let go of our monkey mind. But we don't lose ourselves. We become just ourselves, our true selves. Okay? Then, finally, we can meditate. Finally, we can watch our breathing. Why? Because our monkey mind is already gone. So, there's nothing who is jumping around. You know? That's why we can stay at our breathing for a long time. We can stay in our subtle energy for a long time. Why? Because there is no monkey who is jump around. And we don't have to force our monkey to stay here. You know? So that's why no tension. That's why no struggle. That's why no resistance. You know? Okay. So then, what was wrong? What was wrong with us? Obvious, right? So our understanding was wrong. Our understanding about who I am was wrong. So with this wrong understanding of who I am, we tried to meditate, then completely we failed. You know? But failure can be the biggest teacher, you know? In any area like that, right? If you do business, you failed completely, you lost lots of money, but this is the biggest teacher for you, you know? So in meditation, same, you know? We failed, you know? So I think, you know, like, you know, Buddhism became popular again in India, in the West, and even in Japan, you know? And many star teachers appear, you know, star, you know. And like Hollywood stars, you know, many followers are following these star teachers, you know. And lots of publications, you know. Like lots of workshop, lots of retreat, many centers, you know. Like in Korea, just these 5-6 I don't know, these 10 years, already 10 Vipassana centers were built, you know, something like that, you know. Like, very flourishing. But, as you know, but very strangely, we don't hear about, like, very rarely we hear the story of success story of meditation. Instead of success, we have been hearing so many bad stories, you know. Someone practiced Vipassana for 10 years, but nothing changed, you know. We had so many stories like that, you know. But I think it's good. Why? Because failure is the biggest teacher, you know. So it means we did our best. We already checked all the meditation techniques, all the meditation instructions. We checked all the teaching of all the famous Buddhist teachers, you know. We did everything. Then nothing works. Then conclusion is very obvious. So what is wrong? Of course, not all these instructions, not teachers, not meditation centers, all these things are not important at all. So what is who is wrong? Who made mistake? Of course, it's me. I was wrong. I myself made mistakes. What kind of mistake? It's really fatal mistake. I made a mistake about who I am, you know. You understand? So, if I made such a fatal mistake, how come I can succeed in meditation? Because most important, I made a mistake in the most important point. You understand? So that's why now we should change everything. We should learn from our failure, you know. So, until now, we thought we have a dream of a new meditation technique, you know, new meditation teacher. So maybe I have not yet met a real teacher. I have not yet tried a real meditation technique. That's why meditation didn't work. But it's not true, you know, because our mistake was really fatal. Our mistake was the misunderstanding of who I am, who you are, you know? This is fatal. But because we made a fatal mistake, that's why finally we understand who I am. I am not monkey mind. So that's why after monkey mind has dropped, I am still I. You are still you, you know. Then finally you will find who you are, who you truly are. Then this newfound you can finally do meditation. It means until now, we have been meditating with our crazy negative monkey mind. And of course, it's totally against the nature of monkey mind. That's why we forced monkey mind to meditate, and this strategy did not work. Nothing worked with our old identity. But now we know who I truly are. We know who we truly are. You know? So with this new discovery, we can meditate. Then you will find it is easy to meditate. Why? Because there's nobody who is jumping around. You know? Then that woman who is working in Tokyo, and after the retreat, she found her way of working changed dramatically. That's why she can do her job with almost half time, you know, like that, because she can judge so quickly, you know. Then she said in her retreat, you know, and she did like as exactly what you're doing right now, you know. She watched her breathing, and she experienced like it's not like I am watching the breath, you know. It's not like that, but breathing is very clear. Why? Because her negative monkey mind has already dropped. And with her new identity, she was watching this breathing. But it's not like a she, breath, and she is watching breath. It's not like that, of course. You know? This is the monkey mind's job. This is her monkey mind breathing. Our monkey mind is trying to watch, but it cannot, because monkey mind wanna just go jump around, you know. So at that time, she and breathing just disappear. So only then in-breath, out-breath become very clear. Okay? So then what is the mindfulness? Mindfulness is talking about this kind of state. Already monkey mind has disappeared, you know, no more jumping around. Then everything is very clear. We can see things as they are, without any judgment. Why? Because who likes and who dislikes? Of course it's monkey mind. Monkey mind likes something, monkey mind dislikes that. So that's why, as long as monkey mind exists, we cannot avoid dislike, like and dislike. But when monkey mind is gone, of course our like and dislike is also gone. This is a perfect equanimity which Goenkaji is always talking about. But with our monkey mind, it's impossible to reach perfect equanimity. Okay? So now perfect equanimity, we can see things as they are, objectively, without like and dislike, you know. So all the things which people are talking about vipassana, already there, you know, already there. That's it. Okay, so this is the meaning of mindfulness. You know, but we try to understand mindfulness in the dimension of monkey mind. That's why any explanation of mindfulness did not make clear sense. You know, but mindfulness, through mindfulness, we can go from old to new. Then I at the beginning I said miracle of full attention. By paying full attention to the sound, for example, we can change the world. Why? Because full attention is the activity of not monkey mind. Only when monkey mind dropped, we can pay full attention. You know, this is a secret of attention. Okay? So if you understand like this, monkey mind, you know, and let go of monkey mind, and old and new, you know, like that. Okay? So anyway, this morning, we paid attention to our subtle energy, you know. So by doing this, little by little, our monkey mind has started to drop. You know, maybe not yet completely, you know. But at least your monkey mind has become weaker and weaker. And you can feel silence, the world of silence, okay? This side, weak monkey mind. This side, the world of silence. And this side, negative vibration. This side, positive vibration. You know? Then this is a ego, this is a compassion. Okay, so after the tea break, you know, we practice compassion meditation. Okay, so let's have a break.